Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
Please pray for me this morning that God will use me in this message. I was coming home from Kokomo last night, and I called Corn in. We was talking. I told her, I said, I really don't have no message. I never went this far, into a Saturday evening with no, or a Saturday night with no message, but there was just a thought that was, that had come, and I heard a preacher, I think at the beginning of this week. I was in Huntington, and started coming home from Huntington, and went through the YouTube. I need to listen to a message. You know, the preacher needs to hear preaching too, believe me, And one of the guys that I listened to, it was a great message he gave. And it kind of stuck with me what he said. I seen something in there and a few things in there. And so I couldn't get away from anything other than this. I looked through some old sermons that I had and some notes, but nothing took place, nothing evolved. So this is what I'm going to read this morning. And it's in Revelations, and believe me, it's hard to understand Revelations. There's so many symbols, so many signs, so many things that parallel each other, and it's hard to understand. But if the Lord will help us this morning, we'll try to get this out. I want you to go over to Revelations chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12, and it said this: "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and he did cast them to the earth. And the dragon," listen to this, "stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now has come salvation, and the strength and kingdom of our God, and the power," praise God, "of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, praise the Lord, and the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Now it all changes right here. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and a half time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had cast out of his mouth. Key verse. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the raiment of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your help this morning. Lord, you know how weak that I am in these things, God. So I pray for your help. Give me strength today. Lord, help us to see the truth and to interpret this scripture, God, so it'll strengthen our hearts, so it'll help us in our spiritual walk, and it'll strengthen our faith and our life in you, that we'll hold on to this great salvation that we have. When the enemy comes and tries to destroy us and wipe us out, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Amen. The book of Revelations is, we know that John had seen this revelation. The Lord had given to him that revelations. And what was going to come to pass in the future? What was going to take place? And as we look at this, you know, and you look at all the in Revelations, and I haven't looked at it much because I don't understand it. But in this passage, in this chapter, my friend, something has already happened. Okay, and that's the coming of Christ. Amen. He's already come, huh? He's already established the church and everything. And he's already shed his blood on the cross. He's died, huh? He's been buried. He's been resurrected, my friend, huh? And he's ascended already in this passage of Scripture. Now, when you look at this, I tell you, you go to the commentaries. And even in my Bible, I read about it, the paragraphs in the here, and I looked in the commentaries, and they had a whole different opinion, a whole different concept of what was taking place in this chapter. And I thought, Lord, what can I do? I'm kind of confused. Huh? Where do I go off of? What do I preach on? Huh? I tell you what, this is so true. This is what the Lord had given me, huh? And I looked at this, and I'll tell you who the woman is. That's the church. And I know you're going to ask this, which is a common thing I ask myself many times. How could the woman, which is the church, give birth to Christ? The woman is a symbolic symbol, okay, of God's plan for salvation. Amen. Let me try to get through this here. Pray for me. All right. It said here that the woman here had on her head, it said upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Now I want to tell you who those 12 stars represent on that crown. That's the disciples of Christ. Right. Huh? Because you see, Christ chose those disciples, that were going to be the future men of the church. Huh? Praise God. They were going to be used as the leaders and the power that was going to go out. What did Jesus say? I'm going to send you out into the whole world and you're going to be a witness, my friend, of this great salvation. You're going to be a witness for me. You're not going to be limited to Jerusalem only, but you're going to go out to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and you're going to bring the story and the gospel of salvation to every lost man. That's the 12 stars. I believe that were in that crown she was wearing. Amen. It said here, and she was ready, travailing in birth and in pain, and to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, the great red dragon. And he had 7 heads and 10 horns and all this stuff. I don't understand none of that. Okay. But I do understand verse 4. It said, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And this part, my friend, with Satan, do you remember Satan was an angel that God created? Right. He was the highest angel. He was above all the angels that God had created. He was in charge, my friend. God had confidence in him, and God used him. He was a beautiful angel and a righteous angel. But something happened. He got envy and jealousy. And he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted the other angels to worship him. Man hasn't been created yet. And he wants that power. I don't know. Man created or not, I'm sorry. I don't think there was. But anyway, it don't matter. I'm going to get to the points of the story. And it said that he deceived a third of the angels with him. In other words, there's 2/3 of those angels stayed with God, and 1/3 of them went with Satan. And God cast them out down into the earth. He got rid of them. Tells about the war there with Michael and them. That's what it was about. But it said here that in the second part of that verse, behold the woman, it said here, and it cast him down to the earth, and its dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. So you get this picture this morning. I mean, you know, we think of the devil, we think of a dragon, we think of evil things, my friend. And this is symbolic, but my friend, you get the picture that this woman is getting ready to have this male child, and this demon, this devil is ready to destroy it as soon as it's born. I want to tell you something today, church. The devil knows what's going on. He's aware, my friend, of this life and this world. And he knows the plan of salvation. But he don't want it to happen. He don't want it to take place. He knows that that's the Christ child. That's the one, my friend. He's the child that's going to bring deliverance to the whole world. And he's ready to destroy this plan of God. You hear me? This morning, he's ready to wipe it out. He don't even want it to start. He wants to get rid of it in its infancy. I'm glad God's all power. I'm glad he's in control.
Praise God. If the devil would have destroyed the baby, my friend, you and I would have no hope and no salvation. He's ready to devour this child. And it said that she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who is that? That's Jesus.
Amen.
That's the Christ child, my friend. One of these days, my friend, Christ is coming back and he's going to rule all nations.
Yes, sir.
Every king, every dictator, everyone in charge, my friend, will stand before him and give an account. And he'll destroy them and shatter them, like a rod shatters a potter's vessel. Amen. What did Gabriel tell Mary? He told her, he said, this child, my friend, will be the governor of the whole earth. And of his kingdom, there'll be no end. Amen. He's the one that's ruling. Praise God. I'm glad, my friend, we win.
Amen.
At the end of this thing. Praise God. And it said right here that he was caught up. It said here, let me find where I was at. And he was caught, and the child, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Amen. The angel said, why stand ye gazing, looking up into the sky, what's the matter with you men, this same Jesus that you seen go shall come in like manner, as you seen him go into heaven. He's going to descend back down. Where did he go? In this chapter, he went up to heaven where he's at right now. At the right hand of the Father, bearing your burdens and your burdens and your burdens and mine too. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad he's up there. Now Christ is gone and he's up in heaven. He fulfilled everything. All right. And the church is still here. Amen. The church is still here. It said, and the woman fled in the wilderness. She went away from the child's gone up into heaven. And now she's fleeing from the devil. She's in the wilderness and God had prepared her a place there. And then it talks about the war in heaven. And then I should go off of my notes. Praise God, maybe the Spirit will help me here. But I thought about this. And he said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, and the strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of our Christ. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning. I tell you, I don't deserve anything that I feel and the things that I know this morning. I tell you, I don't deserve none of this, my friend. But I'm glad this morning that the God of heaven saved me and changed my life. I tell you, there's power in this thing. Amen. I tell you, we inherited something when we got saved. We inherit the benefits of all that God has provided for his people.
Amen.
We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shunder.
Right.
This morning.
Preacher, brother.
Thank God for the power of his Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He said here. And he said, They was cast down, the devil was. And then here's what it said. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until the death. Huh? Praise God. I've thought about it. The power that's in this salvation, my friend, is the blood of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's the one that cleansed us. That's the one that forgave us of our sins. But I want to tell you something. It also purifies our heart and our minds, my friend. It changes everything in us. And I'll tell you what, it gives us a victory and the testimony, my friend, to carry this thing to the very end.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
The power of His Christ. Amen. And there's another thing, too. He said, and they love not their own life. This is the way the Christian life is. When you really get saved and you really get in, my friend, huh? You don't live for yourself anymore. You're living for your Savior. Huh? The one that changed your life. Courtney sent me a thing, a picture. She said, I forgot to tell you about this. She said, this really blessed me. She said, I give Alex a sermon on this. She took a picture. They took a trail when they were camping. And on this post, you see the trails that they numbered the trail or whatever. They might have a name for it. Where there was a one, trail one, and there was an arrow and their V's, you know. One was going this way, and one was going that way. And I looked at it, you know. You're going to have to explain it to me, what it means. She said, I'll tell you what I got out of it. There's only two ways, and two roads, and two paths. In this life, huh? You can either choose Christ, my friend, and go to heaven, or you can choose the way of the world and the devil and go to hell. Those V's determine which way you was going to go.
Right.
When she explained that to me, it blessed my heart. Amen. I told her, I said, you're not too far from revival. You're not too far from revival, is what we need. Amen. Praise God. Therefore rejoice, O ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, and woe unto the inhabitants. Now listen to this. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. That means it's just kind of, in my interpretation, it's covering the whole world. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. This is the message, church. Right here. This scripture that I just read to you is 2022. And this has been happening for a while now. I've seen it in my lifetime. You see, the devil is on a time schedule. You and I don't know what that time schedule is. But God has put him on one. And he realizes it. He realizes that he's got a set time. Then he's done. He's done deceiving the world and getting everybody, you know, that's lost to stay in their lost estate, But he's after the church. He's after you and me. He has but a little time. And he knows that. What is his plan? What is he going to do? And in verse 15 it said this. It said, and let me go to 13. And he said, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And then it says in 15th verse,
It said, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. That he, listen, here's was his plan. That he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had cast out of his mouth. All right, so let's look at this for just a moment, my friend. It said here he had water come out of his mouth as a flood. Again, that is symbolic. But what it is, my friend, it's that the devil, is using all that he can now, to destroy the Christians and to destroy the church. And that's up to date today. We can see it everywhere in our government, my friend. It's turning against Christianity. They'll accept all the other religions of the world. Let them have their prayer meetings at school and bow down and do whatever they do. But the Christian religion, they don't want it, nothing to do with it. Huh? They strap it. You know why? Because there's power in this Christ.
Yes,
there's power in this in the religion of Christianity, and they don't want it.
Amen.
They want to keep people under control.
Yes, sir.
And under their power. See, there's freedom in Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And they don't want that freedom. I know I got to quit. I'll tell you something, my friend. I thought about this. The devil owns the internet. Believe me, he does. He owns the internet, my friend. I know we use all these satellites and the internet to run our businesses, and oh, that's all good. I might tell you what, man, I have found good Christian things on the internet that I have saved in my notes and used them in my preaching, my friend. But I want to tell you something. The devil's behind it. Do you realize this morning, on the internet, there is over 300,000 porn sites alone. Over 300,000 porn sites alone on the internet. Why is that, Because Satan uses sex, to destroy people.
Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Because why is that? Because pornography and sexual things, like this are strong. And it gets to the inner part of men and women, my friend. And once they start looking at it, and once they get involved in it, my friend, it's like a drug. They can't get away from it. They're trapped. It's like a web. Remember the www. The World Wide Web. Well, that don't fit Satan, none of us. He spread his web, my friend, all over the world to get men and trap them in. He owns Hollywood. I know I'm getting an amen out loud.
Yes, sir.
He owns Hollywood. He owns the networks, my friend. I tell you what, and I'll tell you, he even owns the media that's in this nation today.
Yes, sir.
To bring out their lies and all the things that they say. I tell you, this just bring all their propaganda and their one-sidedness and their lies, my friend.
Yes.
I tell you what, the Bible said, there'll be no liars in heaven.
Right.
You just remember that, my friend. There'll be not one liar in heaven. He's got the homosexual crowd. He's got the homosexual agenda. He's got the woke crowd, my friend. He's got our government today.
Yes.
You probably don't believe that, but I believe it.
Yes, sir.
Because I can see where it's gone in this nation. He's got a hold. He's got a hold. We're living, I tell you what, in the evilest times, I believe that this nation's ever lived in. You know, the cowboy days, I don't even know why I thought of this.
Cowboy days, you remember how it was in cowboy days. Everybody carried a gun. Huh? You got in gunfights. Huh? You killed other people, you know? That's going on today. Huh? But we got so many drugs. We got so many things in our nation that's pitiful that are taking place. Huh? Children being sexually abused, my friend. Huh? I tell you what, I remember this. It's been quite a while back. Huh? Years ago, it made me so sick. Huh? That the police, this is when it first come out, the police had found this guy guilty, my friend, of child pornography. He had it all over his computer. He had this backed up. Huh? And he went to court, my friend. Huh? And they fought around instead of punishing and doing something to him, which needed to be done. Oh, he's got a constitutional right to view what he wants to view in his own home. The devil's got a hold of it. Huh? These queers and these homosexuals, huh? They don't like you to mention anything about child molesters. Huh? Because they was probably one of them themselves. And they're twisted into this mind thing. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If we keep going the way we're going, huh? Not only child pornography and all this, they're going to set bestiality, sex with animals, huh? I want to tell you something. When the devil's got a hold of something, it's going to fall and go down, huh? And it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You can marry your dog. You can marry your cat. You can marry your cow, your horse. I tell you what, you don't think we ain't too far from that? Listen, my friend, the government, huh, in the schools don't even want a gender. You're not a boy or you're not a girl. You're whoever you think you are. Are we there? Huh? That's right. We're there. The devil. This is my last point. I'm done. This is what I wanted to get out. And he said here, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the raiment of her seed. Which what? Which kept the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Here is the game right here. Now I realize it. It took me so long to understand it. What had happened to the churches across our nation today? And now I see it. Huh? Because the devil, listen, huh? He knows he has but a short time. Okay? He's limited and he's got to do all that he can. Huh? So what is his, here is his plan and his strategy. Listen, church, I want you to listen to this. Huh? What is it? It's to destroy the leadership that's in the church. Huh? It's to destroy any Christian, huh, that has a testimony for Jesus Christ and an influence on any sinner that's out in the world.
Yes.
What do they want to do? They don't want you testifying or telling anybody about your experience at work. Huh? He's already in it.
Yes.
Huh? But that's what he's doing. This is his battle plan. Huh? Listen to me, huh? He's already started this plan, and this plan is already working.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I want to tell you something, my friend. Huh? This is a spiritual battle and not a physical battle. Huh? The devil's come into the leaderships and the pastors and those, the deacons and those in charge, my friend. And he's came in as a flood upon them. Huh? He's in there destroying their marriages. He's giving them family problems, my friend. He's doing all that he can to destroy their faith.
Yes.
And they're giving in. Huh? They're going down. My friend, they're going down. I think it was Ahab. I'm trying to remember. I tell you, like I said, I'm not a very good Bible scholar. And I don't know my Bible very well. But Ahab told his army, see, they were going to kill Saul. All right, they were after Saul. He got his generals together, and he said, you know what? He said, we're not going to waste our time on those soldiers. We're going straight after Saul. Saul, we're going straight after him. We're not going to waste any ammunition or any time, my friend, on those soldiers. We're going right after the leadership. And that's exactly what the devil's doing today. He's going right after the pastors and the leadership and those who have a testimony of Christ.
Yes, sir.
He's going right after them. And the theory of Ahab was, if you get the leadership, my friend, then the rest of the army will scatter and run and into the wilderness. And my friend, an arrow struck Saul, and he died, and the army scattered like ants. Now let me bring you up to date on something that's in our lifetime. When we went to war in Iraq, you remember that? When we went to war in Iraq, we had the same battle plan. Do you guys remember that, Peggy? You remember that. Me and Peggy watched it on TV. We was glued to the TV watching it every night on the news. Here was the plan. We're not going to waste any time, any ammunition, on the soldiers of Iraq. We could stand there and battle them all day, defeat them and kill them, slaughter them. We got the power. We're the United States of America. We're not going to do that. We're going to focus on Saddam Hussein, and his Republican Guard. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to waste our time with any of the rest. And anyways, take a chance on our men getting killed battling the Iraqis. What did they do? They went right in at the Republican Guard, my friend, and broke it all down, slaughtered them. They surrendered. You remember? There was no other way out but to surrender. And I don't know if you remember. I remember watching it on TV. For miles and miles, the Iraqi army, they had them to follow the roads out of Iraq. They were the soldiers. They were the fighters for Saddam Hussein. And there was a highway of retreat. See what I'm saying spiritually this morning? That's the devil's plan. To get the pastor. To get the preacher. Get the man of God, my friend. To turn him from the truth and the preaching of the truth. Get him to turn from, my friend, and compromise everything. So he can just go on living and surviving in the church with no fight. I'll tell you what it is. I said I got to quit. I didn't even know I was going to go this long. I want to tell you something. I've seen this so clear. This is what's happened today in the churches. The devil has went after the leadership. He's went after the deacons. And he's went after those that have the testimony of Christ. And he's pursued them. He's throwed this flood out to them to drown them in all this deceivableness of unrighteousness. And here's what happened. Here's his plan. Now listen, this makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Here's what he done. And this was the plan. To turn the church from a spiritual church into a natural church. A carnal church. You can understand what I'm saying? So it don't matter. See, listen. The devil wants to destroy the testimony. He wants to destroy the Spirit of God. Because it's in the Spirit of God that saves people, right?
Yes, sir.
That's how you got saved, huh? So he wants to destroy that. Huh? So what has happened? Listen to me, my friend. There's not very, I don't know, I shouldn't say this, but there's not a whole lot of spiritual churches left, huh? That really worship God.
Right.
And I'm sure there is, huh? But there's not like there used to be. The holiness churches, I lost my train of thought. I'll try to jump back to that. The holiness churches, my friend, are so small in number. There's hardly nobody there. Huh? There's just a few gathered together. Huh? And I go all over the country on my job, all over the counties, and I see a abandoned church here and an abandoned church here. Or once was a church had been sold, my friend, huh? To somebody and bought it as a residence place. Huh? I want to tell you something. Those in that church were holy people and they held on. Huh? But in time, they passed away. Huh? And nobody come to the churches. Huh? They had no income. Huh? What did they do? They had to be sold. They had to give it up. I'll tell you, Teresa, I thought of you, and I know John. Those that has been with us for a while, Pam, Don and Joyce. I thought of this, I think it was this morning. Brother Avery is the one that saved this church. Listen, and I mean that. I feel that way so strongly. Huh? This church, my friend, believe me, God would have, he can do anything he wants to do to keep the church going. But I believe with all of my heart that he used Brother Avery and brought him here. He brought a man of God to keep this church going. Huh? I believe that with all my heart. Huh? I tell you, I owe a lot to that man. He was a great man. I wish you could have sat under his preaching and under his teaching, my friend. He had a way to break the sermon to you, my friend, that would get a hold of your heart. Huh? When you left the doors, you left a better person. Huh? He was good at everything he done. He could tell stories that make you laugh, my friend. I tell him how many times in church we laughed at the things that he said. Huh? Huh? And he laughed too. Huh? And he preached and he cried, my friend, and thing. And we cried too. Huh? But God, huh? Give him us. And we was able to carry on. Praise God. I thank God for that. Amen. But that's what's happened. Church, this was, like I said, let me get back to this. This was the devil's plan. To turn the spiritual church into a natural church, into a carnal church, huh? Where there is no spirituality, huh? And the Holy Spirit's not moving, huh? Because there's no spiritual people in the place, huh? And then with no spirit, nobody gets saved. Nobody gets transformed, huh? And nobody grows spiritually because it's not in it. He wants a natural church is what the devil wants. Huh? And he's got them all over the land. Huh? I tell you, not all your mega churches, my friend. Huh? There's probably some good ones. But I tell you, the majority of them is nothing but a country club and a get-together. Just a fellowship with each other, my friend, and the Spirit of God's not in it.
Right.
Huh? Because I wonder, I think about it, I say, what in the world are they preaching to be able to get that many people to their congregation? And I want to tell you something. They ain't preaching on sin. Huh? They ain't preaching on the devil. They ain't preaching on the commandments. They ain't preaching anything that's convicting. Because they'll lose the people.
Right.
Huh? What are you saying? A natural church is his goal. Huh? Bible said, when God saw that the church, that his people, has lost their power, then he's going to send Christ back. Huh? We're living in that day of the great falling away that the Bible has talked about. Huh? I know I'll come up short in this message, for sure. I want to tell you something this morning. If there's 10 or 15 of us here today, and 10 next Sunday, and 8 the next Sunday, and 5 this next Sunday, we're going to be a spiritual church.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
As long as I'm under it, and I know I'm not over you, I'm just a guy trying to preach the message. But as long as I'm here and preaching, this is going to be a spiritual church. And we're going to be spiritual people. That's the only way we're going to have an impact on the world, my friend. The devil set all this stuff up. Really, in reality, he set all these sins up. And the internet and the TV and all that. He didn't set all that up for the lost man. They're already lost. They're already gone. They don't even know God. He set it up to trap the Christians. I don't know how many. I looked that up here. It's been quite long ago. How many pastors, my friend, are hooked on pornography? How many pastors, my friend, are in rehabilitation? Listen to me. Over pornography. I know that's sad. It's sick. It's sick. But that's where we're at. The devil used it. You get my point? He used that to hit the leadership in the church so he could get the spirit out of this preacher. And so he'll come a natural man and then he'll speak natural things and preach natural things, if you want to call it preaching. And the church don't have no power. There's just as many divorces today in the church as there is in the world. It's sad. You see, we are supposed to be a light to the world, to this lost and dying. The church is to be a light. But Satan wants to put it out. Praise God. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're that city that sits on a hill. That can't be hid. What is that light? What is that light that Jesus is talking about? That's the righteousness of his people. That's the holiness of his people. You know what it's doing? He is the light. Christ is the light. And we're just the reflection off of that light. Amen. You see, the moon has no light. You would never see the moon. You would never know it was there until the sun shines on it and hits it. That's what's lighting it up. Other than that, it'd be total darkness. It has no light. Jesus is the sun and the light. Amen. Praise God. I want to tell you something, church. We got to hold on to what we have. We got to hold on to God. Hold on to our relationship with Him. Hold on, to this straight and narrow way that leads to heaven. And the devil's going to come after us. He don't care how many's in the congregation. He's going to come after the Christian and try to destroy our testimony. I want to tell you something. He don't care. If you and I go to church, he could care less about that. But I tell you what he cares about. And he don't want spiritual people. He don't want spiritual people in the church, my friend, that have an influence and a testimony.